A successful lawyer sits in her car after winning a major case, feeling nothing but emptiness. A loving father snaps at his children over a minor spill, then spirals into self-loathing. A talented artist stares at her work and sees only flaws. What connects these moments? Each person is trapped in what we might call the trance of unworthiness, a persistent whisper that says, "You're not enough." This isn't just occasional self-doubt. It's a pervasive filter that colors every experience, turning achievements into temporary reprieves and mistakes into evidence of fundamental defectiveness. You know this trance if you've ever felt that nagging sense that something about you needs fixing before you can truly relax, be loved, or feel at peace. The irony? While you believe your particular brand of inadequacy is uniquely yours, nearly everyone around you is fighting the same invisible battle. Radical acceptance offers a way out, but not through the self-improvement projects we're accustomed to. It's built on two complementary practices, mindfulness and compassion. Think of them as wings. You need both to fly. Mindfulness means seeing clearly what's actually happening right now, without the stories we layer on top. When anxiety grips your chest before a presentation, mindfulness notices, "There's tightness here. There's a racing heart." It doesn't add, "I'm a failure," or "This always happens to me." Compassion then brings kindness to whatever we find. Instead of berating yourself for feeling anxious, you might place a hand on your heart and acknowledge, "This is hard right now." Here's the counterintuitive truth. Genuine change begins with acceptance, not resistance. A woman spent decades hating her body, trying every diet and exercise regime to fix what she saw as fundamentally wrong. During a meditation retreat, she finally allowed herself to feel the full weight of her self-hatred without trying to change it. As she held this pain with gentle awareness, something shifted. The shame didn't vanish, but her relationship to it transformed. She could see it as a passing weather pattern rather than the truth of who she was. Picture Laura and Phil locked in their familiar dance. He makes a comment she perceives as critical. She explodes, he withdraws. They've replayed this scene hundreds of times. Then Laura learns something revolutionary, the sacred pause. When she feels that familiar heat rising, instead of immediately lashing out, she stops. She takes a breath. She notices the tightness in her chest, the way her jaw clenches. This pause, just a few seconds, creates space between what happens and how she responds. In that space lies freedom. Initially, Phil is confused. When Laura doesn't engage in their usual escalation, he tries harder to provoke the familiar reaction. But gradually, something shifts. Without the fuel of her automatic response, their arguments lose momentum. The entire dynamic changes because one person steps out of the pattern. This pause isn't about suppressing feelings or being artificially calm. It's about creating space to experience what's happening in your body before stories and judgments take over. Barbara's father was a harsh critic, and decades later, she still reacted to her husband's casual requests as attacks. When anxiety arose, Barbara learned to ask, "How big are you?" The fear remained, but it no longer defined her entire experience. Rosalie had perfected the art of not feeling. Sexually abused as a child, she learned to leave her body during frightening experiences, a survival mechanism that once protected her, but now left her disconnected and anxious. Her healing came not through analyzing her past intellectually, but through reconnecting with the sensations she'd spent decades avoiding. Through guided practice, she learned to feel stored pain without being overwhelmed. Using imagery of warm, golden light flowing through tense areas, she released emotions locked in her tissues for years. By staying present and breathing into tightness rather than fleeing, she slowly reclaimed her body as a safe place. Our bodies hold wisdom our thinking minds miss. During childbirth, women who fight contractions, tensing in fear, often suffer more than those who breathe into sensations with acceptance. The physical intensity doesn't lessen, but mental anguish does. This applies beyond childbirth. Our relationship with sensation shapes experience more than the sensation itself. Think of shifting from being a small boat tossed on stormy seas to recognizing you're also the vast ocean holding both boat and storm. During a meditation retreat, Sarah obsessed over desserts while others seemed peaceful. Her teacher suggested acknowledging the cravings without indulging or suppressing them. This too, she'd whisper, simply holding desire in awareness. The grip loosened, not through willpower, but by stopping the fight. In that acceptance, she felt what lay beneath, a deeper longing for comfort and connection. Desire itself isn't the problem. We're wired to want connection, pleasure, meaning. Problems arise when we grasp at objects believing they'll complete us. Many develop a wanting self, an identity organized around neediness, often formed when childhood needs weren't met. The resulting shame drives us towards substitutes, achievement, substances, temporary relief. The Tibetan teacher Milarepa demonstrated a radical alternative. When demons appeared, he invited them for tea. When we welcome desires as guests rather than enemies, they reveal their deeper nature. The energy pulling us toward external objects transforms into recognition of our longing for connection with our own aliveness and with life itself. Daniel grew up with a critical father whose harsh voice became his inner dialogue. During a meditation retreat, his teacher encouraged something that felt awkward. Place a hand on your heart and speak kindly to yourself. It's okay, Daniel. This is hard. You're doing your best. Initially, this felt foreign. He believed self-criticism fueled motivation. But as he continued, the combination of physical touch and caring words began melting barriers he'd built against vulnerability. This isn't about positive thinking or denying struggles. It's about recognizing our shared human vulnerability and responding with kindness rather than judgment. When caught in shame, placing a hand on our heart and acknowledging our pain creates space around overwhelming experiences. Pain is inevitable. Suffering intensifies through resistance. The compassion we extend comes from awareness itself, uncovering what's already beneath layers of judgment and fear. Self-compassion doesn't make us weak. It strengthens our capacity to meet life's challenges with resilience and opens our hearts to others. When we stop fighting ourselves, we have more energy for genuine connection and meaningful action. What if the peace you seek isn't something to achieve, but your true nature to realize? In moments of pure presence, watching a sunset, deeply connecting with another, or sitting quietly, you glimpse something beyond your usual sense of self. The persistent voice of not enough goes silent, and what remains is simply aware, open, alive. This awareness isn't cold or distant. It's the space in which all experience unfolds, naturally responding with compassion. Like discovering you've been searching for glasses that were on your head all along, you realize what you are has never been contained within the boundaries of personal identity. This recognition doesn't require years of spiritual practice. When you look for the one who's aware, you can't find a separate observer. There's just awareness itself, empty of fixed identity, yet full of responsive presence. Radical acceptance offers ultimate freedom, not escape from life's messiness, but full participation in its wholeness, meeting each moment with clarity and love. This freedom is available right now, in this breath. The practice is simple, but not easy. When caught in the trance of unworthiness, pause. Feel what's present in your body. Bring kind attention to whatever arises. You don't have to fix anything. Just meet your experience with the tenderness you'd offer a frightened child. Over time, this transforms your relationship with being alive. You begin trusting the ground of awareness that holds all experience. You can feel both joy and sorrow without losing yourself in either. The waves continue rising and falling, but you recognize yourself as the ocean, vast, deep, fundamentally unshakable. This is radical acceptance, saying yes to life exactly as it is, including your resistance, and discovering in that yes a freedom you never imagined possible.